phone, on the new Sports Hub app,
and on your computer.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Donald Trump has just announced on Twitter that we're going to be shooting missiles at Syria.
What? Surprise! What?
He said that we're going to be, basically, missiles are coming to Syria. And then he says our relationship with Russia is worse than it was in the Cold War. And they could use economic help. I'm not reading it straight. I just looked at it on TV.
The tweets are from an hour ago.
Okay, yeah. He was up bright and early getting those in.
It says, very calm. Okay, so much fake news about what's going on in the White House. Very calm and calculated with a big focus on open and fair trade with China. The coming North Korea meeting and, of course, the vicious gas attack in Syria. Feels great to have... doing things that nobody thought possible despite never-ending corrupt Russia investigation, which takes tremendous time and focus. No collusion or obstruction other than I fight back. So now... they do the unthinkable and raid a lawyer. Okay, that's okay. Here it is. Russia vows to shoot down any and all missiles fired at Syria. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming.
Yeah.
Nice and new and smart. You shouldn't be partners with a gas-killing animal who kills his people and enjoys it. Our relationship with Russia is worse now than it has ever been, and that includes the Cold War. There is no reason for this. Russia needs us to help with their economy, something that would be very easy to do, and we all need all nations to work together. Stop the arms race? With a question mark. Oh, my goodness. Get ready, Russia, because they will be coming.
Yeah.
Nice and new and smart.
Yep. All right, so... So Mark Zuckerberg yesterday testified in front of Congress.
Yes, he did.
Who would have foreseen that something that... an unknown entity that takes all your personal information could somehow be... unethical.
It was highly entertaining for all the wrong reasons, and that being that it was someone trying to explain how tech stuff works to the nation's elderly as they sit there and, oh, what do you mean? What is this doing? This hoobity watts and witsy hoos? And it wasn't nothing.
What are these doodads? This is a calculator?
It was the best. And what's even better is that, like, I had people who were on my timeline complaining about how Facebook takes their privacy, and if you go to their homepage, they're the ones answering those stupid quizzes that got them in trouble in the first place.
That everyone was just cool with Facebook doing facial recognition.
Sure, right.
Like, oh, yeah, what could go wrong with this?
What's your favorite Harry Potter character? Just answer these five questions. Number one, your PIN number.
Yep.
Number two, your mother's maiden name. Number three, your first dog. Number four, the street you grew up on. Just answer these simple questions. Oh, guess what? You're Mad-Eye Moody.
Or what would you look like if you were a girl?
You're a Hufflepuff. You're from the Hufflepuff school. I mean, it's like, these people are like, how are they stealing our info? Because you're the dumbass doing these quizzes. But, you know, listen, you had to find out what Disney princess you were.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, you're Pocahontas.
I suppose it goes even deeper than that. But nonetheless... Mark Zuckerberg was in front of Congress.
So this was great. So they sat him down, and you know, it was just brilliant hearing. Start with clip number two. Go to number two first, and then we'll go back to number one. Just talking to old people about the interwebs, about what is this internet click that you got here? www.imconfused.
This is a floppy disk.
let's take a listen.
Now my Commodore 64. Do I put? It's over the phone line. Now, this is all invisible.
I got this distance that says AOL on it. What do I do in that? What do I do with that guy? There's a little man running and a crazy sound.
All I hear is beep, 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 click, click, click. Nonsense.
Communism.
All right, so here we go. Here is Mark Zuckerberg.
This is Orrin Hatch.
Orrin Hatch.
Talking to Mark Zuckerberg.
Who has been in Congress for 1,000 years. Here is Orrin Hatch.
Mr. Zuckerberg, I remember well your first visit to Capitol Hill back in 2010. You spoke to the...
No, you don't. you don't remember
not
anything.
Not a chance.
You're remembering stuff that didn't happen.
Yeah.
You spoke to the Senate Republican High-Tech Task Force, which I chair. You said back then that Facebook would always be free. Is that still your objective?
Yes. There will always be a version of Facebook that is free. It is our mission to try to help connect everyone around the world and to bring the world closer together. In order to do that, we believe that we need to offer a service that everyone can afford, and we're committed to doing that.
Well, if so, how do you sustain a business model in which users don't pay for your service?
Senator, we run ads.
I see.
No further questions. How can you possibly make this free? There's obviously some sort of shenanigans.
There's so much in that clip that Mark Zuckerberg is a robot that is being... I can only imagine having dinner with the man. It has to be fascinating.
How could you possibly make any sort of money doing this? It must cost you a zillion dollars.
I got rabbit ears, and that seems to get the television working.
We run ads.
Mind blown.
Milton Berle used to do ads for Chesterfield cigarettes.
What? Fred Flintstone used to do ads.
Yeah, he would do Chesterfield.
Yeah.
Nights. Chesterfield. Chesterfield was huge.
Okay.
Ernie Kovacs, if you like that kind of a surreal comedy, used to do cigar commercials. There used to be a time where you had a lady just show a little bit of leg.
Sure, with a feather dance.
She would get you in an Oldsmobile.
That's right. They would do a feather dance. All right, go to the first clip here. And
if you want to kiss this broad, get yourself in an Oldsmobile.
Here's a gentleman who believes that Facebook owes everything that they've got to America.
Quite a story, right? Dorm room to the global behemoth that you guys are. Only in America, would you agree with that?
Senator, America.
You couldn't do this in China, right? Or what you did 10 years.
Well, Senator, there are some very strong Chinese internet companies.
Right, but you're supposed to answer yes to this question. Okay, come on, I'm trying to help you, right? I mean, give me a break. You're in front of a bunch of... The answer is yes, okay? So thank you.
I want to be on TV saying, go red, white,
go America. You could do this anywhere else. Well, actually, China's fairly successful.
Let's waste everyone's time. It would be okay if Mr. Zuckerberg, if I may waste everyone's time and make myself look good so I can get a clip from my campaign commercial where I say America's number one.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly what he was doing.
Of course it was. And you're not really helping me out here, sir. Just answer yes, so I can edit it to make it look good.
Exactly.
Mr. Zuckerberg, you might as well just said, taxpayers of America, if I could waste a little bit of your time here. If you would allow me to take something that's very serious, where the identities of tens of millions of people were compromised, may I take this moment to just put my foot on the brakes and act like an a-hole.
Sir, I took a test on your interweb site that said that my Saved by the Bell character was Screech, and I truly believe that I'm a Kelly. Could you please...
A Kelly? I mean, what is this?
Yeah.
No, you'd be a Slater.
Yeah, I think that's what you're game aiming for here.
I turn the seat around. I sit and I prop my hands up, my arms up on the back of a chair. By the way, California Dreams. If I can segue into something very quickly. Uh-huh. I watched an episode the other day of California Dreams, and the bad boy from that show turned his chair around as well.
Oh.
Nothing but a fake out.
All right, go to clip number four. So, once again, it sometimes it's time to come down on these young whippersnappers and tell them what you really think.
Mr. Zuckerberg, I come in peace. I don't want to vote to have to regulate Facebook. But, my God, I will. But that, a lot of that depends on you. I just don't feel like that we're connecting. So let me try to lay it out for you from my point of view. There's some impurities in the Facebook punch bowl. Let's start with the user agreement.
There's some impurities in the punch bowl as if I'd dip my nuts in it. Oh, I remember... I remember at Lyndon Johnson's 60th birthday party, I just lowered my sack into the punch bowl. That same Milton Berle that did the Chesterfield commercials was standing there. Oh, was he? He had a unit on him. Woo-wee!
Very impressive, Mr. Berle.
Dame Judi Dench was there. And she said, I've never seen anything as impressive as your sack. There's some impurities in the punch bowl. I seem to have taken a whiz. All right.
There's some impurities in the Facebook punch bowl. Let's start with your user agreement.
Remember May West's 70th birthday party? She just slapped those saggers right in the punch bowl. And then she made a ribald comment afterwards.
Did she really, May West? Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Okay. I'll tell you, at 70, those were some hangers. In the punch bowl.
Let's start with your user agreement. Your user agreement sucks. I'm going to suggest to you that you go back home and rewrite it. And tell your $1,200 an hour lawyer you want it written in English, in non-Swahili.
No. Okay. Right. Non-Swahili, because it sucks.
How do I get with the kids? Sucks. There's so many youngsters watching. Gonna get that going.
Sir, I found myself on this Oregon Trail, and I continue to die of dysentery. Can you please...
Seems fairly random.
Tell me how many rations I need to buy in order to get my family of four properly across this Oregon Trail.
Now, there's this new game called Pong. And I'm moving up and down, and that ball's tricking me every time. There's no consistency. Pong. I put in the code and everything, and then a clown's face comes up.
What?
Yeah, remember when they had the computer magazine?
No, I don't remember that at all.
I have no remembrance of that.
Clown's face comes up.
I put in a picture. I say, I want to see Kathy Ireland, and then... Coom, 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 coom. It takes about 5 minutes. By then, the Viagra's worn completely off. All right, we are going to be joined by Terry Koshin of the Toronto Sun. He's going to give us a little bit of an insider's perspective on the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Dutcher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Stop.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. The Toronto Maple Leafs and the people of Toronto now have joined the people of New England in having a terrible song celebrating a team, much like, what is it, you, the Patriots, and we?
New England, the Patriots, and we, yeah. Which is the, not only is it a bad song, it was made even worse by being the response to the greatest team song of all time, arguably that being the Super Bowl Shuffle. At least definitely the most successful.
Yes.
It's a phenomenon.
And the Super Bowl Shuffle holds up as well today as it did in 1985.
Well, of course. But for what it was, I mean, like everyone... that was probably played maybe once every 2 hours on MTV. It was everywhere.
Was it a top 40 song?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. Dude, it was a phenomenon.
You know, I remember it being huge. I just
I'm
didn't
the
know
punky coup being known as McMahon. Right. When I hit the field, I got no plan. And he was wearing shades and a headband. Yeah. And you're like, this dude is a rap.
He's awesome.
The best is, I forget which player it was from the Bears team that was just interviewed, but they said that McMahon wanted nothing to do with it. And that's the reason why he looks like superimposed over everyone.
Yeah.
Because they filmed his in like a hallway at the practice facility because he didn't show up to the taping. He's not in the dancing.
Sounds
he's,
right.
He's like superimposed to the front of it.
Good for him.
Yeah. He wanted nothing to do with it.
That is a look. That's one of those things that looking back, I wish I wasn't in it.
That made him a ton of money, though. That in endorsements, wouldn't you think?
No.
See, I think
he was already the bad boy. He already had the Roselle headband and everything else. No, he was firmly established at that point. Listen, at BYU, he didn't care either. They wouldn't let him set records. They gave the records to,
was he young?
No.
It was no, not Ty Detmer, not Young. There was a guy,
Robbie Bosco.
Yes, they gave him to Robbie Bosco, who some people thought in that draft was going to be the best quarterback that came out of it.
Oh.
Terry Koshan, I believe, is how you pronounce it. He's from the Toronto Sun. He's a Maple Leafs beat writer. Hello, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen.
It is nice to talk to you. So, so here we go. We are into the series that starts tomorrow, and there is some worry around here based on the speed of the team. How do you think these two teams match up?
Very closely, guys. It's listen, we had to do first round predictions for each series, and it was a pick 'em. I don't think there's any doubt about that. This is comparing this kind of thing to what happened 5 years ago. I don't think you can. The Leafs are young, they're quick. I think it is maybe a concern for the Bruins. I think it's just going to be a tight series. You know, the Leafs would never say it. They might have preferred the Lightning in the first round because they know against Boston, every inch of the ice is fought for, and you don't gain every inch of the ice or any inch of the ice without going through blood, sweat, and tears to get it. So I think it's going to be a hell of a series. I'll be surprised if we're not back there for Game 7 in a couple of weeks, guys. And I think it's going to be close, like the Leafs out of the Capitals last year, where all six of the games were decided by one goal. So, you know what? What it comes down to, I think, in a series like this is who capitalizes on the few opportunities you're going to get and who does that most consistently, and that team will end up winning. They say goaltending and special teams win you in the playoffs, and I think that's what's going to happen a lot in this series. I just don't see it happening going down any other way.
By the way, if you are a fan of Maple Leafs hockey, there's like 11 beat writers. It's very funny.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people covering the game.
It's huge.
All right. What is the perception in Toronto of Tuukka Rask? Because it's mixed here.
Well, you know what? I think that Leafs fans have gotten over what happened initially way back when you know, John Ferguson chose Justin Pogge over Tuukka Rask, guys. And we all know how that turned out in Toronto. Everything's fine now in net with Freddie Anderson, and I would imagine that that's one reason why the Leafs Nation has gotten over it. I don't, to be honest with you guys, I think as good as Rask is and can be, whether he's struggled or not, I think he's going to be a thorn in the Leafs' side. But I think the bigger concern here in Toronto is what to do with the Bergeron line. And not only how do you keep that line from scoring, but how, especially for the games in Boston, I think, how does Austin Matthews get past that line and then, you know, playing against Zdeno Chara? Those are, I think, are the bigger concerns for the Leafs right now. And that's not taking anything away from Tuukka Rask, because he's a fine goalie. And, you know, like I say, if the Bruins win this thing, I would imagine Rask would be a big part of it. But I think the bigger concern right now for Leafs on top line.
Fred just kind of intimated it, talking about the 11 beat writers following the Toronto Maple Leafs. But factoring in how long it's been since Toronto won a first-round playoff series, it's been, what, 10, 15 years since that happened, and this is the best Toronto Maple Leafs team in how long? How big is this series up there? Reading from down here, it seems to be just mammoth.
Yeah, it is. There's no doubt about it. And again, probably it takes on even more of that with the fact that it's Boston and not Tampa. The rivalry is here. And there's no doubt about that. There's Mike Babcock, of course, has the personal connection to Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, having coached them internationally. So there are a lot of factors at play. I mentioned 2013 guys. There are a handful of these who survived from that series. And as much as it means nothing, you know that somewhere for those five, it's in the back of their minds, and they would like to see things done correctly this time. But it's big. I mean, and like I say, it's not just the fact that the Leafs are in the playoffs. I think this is going to be commonplace here now after they got it last year in Mike Babcock's second year. It's also who the opponent is. And, you know, as much as we talked about it with some of the guys on the first day of practice on Monday, Game 7 of 2013, so that part of the conversation is done, but it adds to it. There's no doubt about it, and I just think that the Leafs are raring to go. And you know, a lot of them said that they watched the Bruins-Panthers game on Sunday night, and I don't think, from the reaction that they had, I don't think there were many that got up and said, okay, we're worried now. I just think they want to get in there tomorrow night, put their noses down and get going to work.
Yeah, this is a tough series to read. The reason being is that if you look at the four times the teams played each other, two of the losses that the Bruins had were before they essentially turned a corner, which was like middle of November, where they went on a tear. And then you had the three times that the Leafs won, Austin Matthews wasn't even playing. So is there anything you can take from those four games that gives you some sort of semblance of an idea of how this is going to shake out?
Well, I think so. I think you have to go with the adage, too, that the players, you know, they hit the reset button for game one, and a lot of what happened in the past won't matter now. Is it going to matter that Freddie Anderson is a 10-1 career record against the Bruins? I don't think so. Because, you know, if you believe that, then you think the Leafs are going to go in a sweep, and absolutely nobody is calling for that to happen. I think some of the smaller details of what happened during the season series, guys, will come into play, of course. You know, I covered that game in Boston on February 3rd, the one that Austin Matthews did play in. He was checked into the ice by Bergeron and Chara. Couldn't move. And I think that's going to be a fascinating part of the series for the game, especially in Beantown. How does Mike Babcock combat that now? You know, because I think once the games are back in Toronto, Nazem Kadri's line will have that assignment of playing against Bergeron and Marchand and Pasternak. But that to me in Boston is going to be a huge key for the Leafs. If they can't get around that, your chances of winning in Boston diminish. Now, the Leafs have great depth throughout their top three lines, and their fourth line is fast. But I think you're going to need Matthews going in this series. And, you know, that's going to be a big part of it. You know, the Chara factor, is he going to be confused the fastest person on earth? No, but he's a tough out for the Leafs, too. There's no doubt that he's an intimidating player at his size and what he's able to do with that reach. But, you know, then is that where the Leafs speed comes into play? But no, I don't think overall you can look back at the season series and say, okay, well, the Leafs won three or four, therefore they're the favorites. This is not the way it's going to work.
All right. So home ice, a big factor in this series.
Huge.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, if the Leafs can come in, listen, you want to win every game. Of course you do. But, you know, and they would never say it. If they come in and get a split Thursday, Saturday, I would imagine they're pretty happy coming back home for game three on Monday.
Yeah. All right. Terry Koshin, am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, Koshin, yeah.
Koshin from the Toronto Sun. We appreciate it. Enjoy your time in Boston, and maybe we'll talk to you later in the series.
Will do. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, see you, man. Thank you. We appreciate it. I'm having Dan load in the Super Bowl shuffle.
I think he had it.
Okay.
But I want the whole thing.
You want the whole thing?
Because it's awful. It's
not good. Of course.
By the way, Dan's telling me it was nominated for a Grammy.
Oh my God.
And they lost to Prince.
Is that right?
Somebody did tweet this to us, and this might make sense. They said that the peak position as far as top 40, yes, it was top 40, was 75. But you also have to understand that doesn't take into consideration MTV spins. And MTV was everything when this first came out, because that's where we all saw it, right? I mean, I wasn't hearing it on the radio, I don't believe. I was watching it on MTV.
Yeah.
I think I went out and bought the single when it came out.
See, I bought "Living in America" by James Brown.
Oh, actually,
I'm 45.
Oh, did you really?
Based on his performance in the Rocky film.
Mm. Yeah, Wikipedia is saying it went to 41, so still not quite the top 40. But that's just
sniffing it. Sniffing the top 40. Just,
almost
but,
there.
But I want to play.
Two weeks after the Super Bowl, it peaked at 41.
And our younger audience might never have heard this. And if you want to age yourself, Rich was 9 and I was 10. Wallach was 40.
Yep.
When this song came out. And you have to keep in mind that this was popular.
Oh, people loved
it. And it's awful. And even by the standards of 1985 rap, it's awful. And I would like to revisit that. So if that doesn't keep you on the edge of your seats, I don't know what will.
Just how bad the Super Bowl stuff was.
Big market tease.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay,
that's just even.
You know it's a loser when John Dennis has to speak on it.
It was embarrassing the moment
50 million years old.
That was released.
10. And that jabroni's out there.
Oh,
the Patriots and we.
That is the all-time worst response to something that was a phenomenon.
Hastily put together.
And it goes on forever.
Well, as does the Super Bowl shuffle. I'm told it's 7 minutes.
Mike said he found a cut that was 7 minutes long. Now, the one that was on MTV was not 7 minutes, but there's a director's cut, apparently, which I'm all in on, because it's got them playing the bongos and the saxophone.
They did that in the video.
I remember the saxophone. I remember there being more instruments than that. And who was it on the saxophone? I forget, but I know that
I don't know.
The other
McMahon, could be any of them.
No, it wasn't McMahon.
No, it was not McMahon. McMahon, and it was Walter Payton, I think we found it was the second guy who didn't show up.
I'm called me Sweetness because I like to dance. Running the ball is like making romance. I just like that they all wore sunglasses because it was super cool.
Well, that's how you show that you're fresh.
This is going to be very brief. I just want people to understand, if you're older like us, you can remember and just realize how terrible this is and feel ashamed for, you know, even paying it any attention. And if you're younger, you can realize that hip-hop in its infancy was not good when done by non-professionals.
That's like someone pressed start on the Casio keyboard.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what it was.
We are the best.
Shuffling crew. Shuffling on down. Like, doing it for you. We're so bad. We know we're good. Like we knew we would.
You know we're just strutting for fun. Strutting our stuff for everyone. We're not here to start no trouble. We're just here to do the Super Bowl show.
Well, they call me Sweetness, and I like the dance. Running the ball was like making romance. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. And we're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just come here to do the Super Bowl show.
This is Speedy Willis, and I'm world class. I like running, but I love to get the pass.
This isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
No, it's bad. It gets bad.
I'm all right with it right now.
No, it's horrible.
I'm as smooth as a chocolate swirl. A best little funky, so watch me, girl.
Is that Pooh?
Well, it's dog.
I'm smooth like a chocolate swirl?
I guess.
I'm Samurai Mike. I stop them cold. Part of the defense, big and bold.
Singletary's really into it.
Singletary just like, get me out of here.
Give me a chance, I'll rock you good.
Good.
Nobody messing in my neighborhood. I didn't come here looking for trouble. I just came to do the Super Bowl show.
We are the best shuffling crew. Shuffling on down.
For some reason, this is not hitting me as awkward as I thought it would.
Horrible.
I'm all right with this.
You know we're just strutting for fun. Strutting our stuff for everyone.
And then they would do that effect that like slowly moved.
Like, all right.
It was like you were on acid.
Yeah, right. That's when they would pretend they were playing the bongos and the keyboards. You know, the only thing that was worse than this was, do you remember when this was such a success that they said, let's do one that's just about Mike Ditka?
Yeah, when, what was it called?
The Grabowski Shuffle?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, we watch it probably once a year.
Grabowski Shuffle's the best.
Yeah, he was trying to sell something.
I think I have it. Oh, yeah, okay. So, the Grabowski, I guess the Grabowski is like a term that they use in Chicago or whatever, someone who's like tough, be a Grabowski.
Okay.
So, in the video, you can see it. In the video, it's got Mike Ditka, and he goes to these stands of a bunch of people wanting to be a Grabowski, and he picks people out of the stands, and
what's the worst thing that ever happened to you in your life?
No, there was the making of the Grabowski Shuffle. That's what it was. So, this is legitimately, it was behind the scenes, and people asked them, these like really creepy interviewers, like, say, why do you want to be a Grabowski? And there's grown men crying because they want to be in this video.
What's the worst thing that ever happened to you in your life, Larry? Why are you nervous?
I don't know. I guess I'm not used to this setting.
Tell me about yourself, George. You like being a cop?
Sounds like a serial killer.
Cop. It is.
What would it mean to you to become a Grabowski?
It would mean to me to become something.
We're Grabowski, wild and free. What you get is what you see.
All right, there you have it. Chicago fun back in the 80s. All right, Rich, what else?
Okay, all right. So this is do we need to take a break? Or
no.
Okay. There is a new rumor that just came out yesterday. There are reports, And this is from, originally came out from a guy named Omar Al-Rasai, who is the editor of a Dubai race sports journal. So it's, you know, take it for what it's worth. But then it got a lot of traction here in America amongst a bunch of UFC writers. And that is that, this is the first original tweet. It said, Floyd Mayweather will fight Conor McGregor in the octagon with 4-ounce gloves, no shoes, 5-minute rounds in the 155 division. However, there will be no kicks, no takedowns, no elbows, and no knees.
Wait a minute.
So it's a boxing match with smaller yeah, with smaller
it's
gloves.
It's a boxing match with a funny looking ring.
All right. And it's smaller gloves and that you're not wearing shoes.
That is a boxing match in an octagon.
Yeah.
So he'll beat him up again.
No takedowns? That's like the whole thing. Okay, can someone who's like into MMA and knows the UFC, knows all the rules, tell me what will be done that isn't normally done in a boxing match
if
you can't have any kicks,
I like the
takedowns, elbows, or knees?
Are there holds?
Yeah, you could hold them and just keep beating
the
on
choke
them.
Hold. All right, so that's in play. Okay.
So Floyd
can still be destroyed inside of like a minute.
So the one thing he can do is he can grab him and punch him in the head. He can't elbow him.
Right.
There's no knees, no takedowns, and no kicks. So you can't use your legs whatsoever.
That's crazy.
I can't wait to buy this.
I'll pay $500.
No, this is going to backfire.
This one you say no to.
Well, no. You know what? I probably will because I want to see the disaster. I actually do want to see this. I'm not looking forward to watching it. The other one I was looking forward to seeing. This one is going
to
be such a calamity.
This, you're even more of an idiot than you were the last time to buy this.
But you know
fight.
Why I'm ordering it. I'm not wanting to get entertained.
I'm not talking to you specifically.
Sure.
I mean, this is for the show. It's good. I understand all of that.
I mean, okay.
But if you get robbed another $100 to buy this.
If you think Mayweather stays.
Throwing your money away the last time.
If you think his boxing is boring, wait until he can't. Where you can clutch and grab, and he's not going to want that.
Okay.
So just if you want to see him dance and keep a safe arm's length distance between him and McGregor, this is what you can do. Because, again, Mayweather is 30 times the athlete of McGregor, and he's just really going to dance around. He's going to dance around. He's going to jab him a couple times, and then he's going to dance around. McGregor's going to make a beeline for him, and then he'll knock him out. And then his punching power, he'll just nail him in the face.
Oh, because McGregor throws bombs.
UFC fans, yeah. convince me to watch this fight. Convince me to watch a fight in the octagon. If these reports are true, that Floyd Mayweather is going to fight Conor McGregor, but there will be no kicks, no takedowns, jeez, no elbows, and no knees. Convince me to watch this.
How is that appealing to any UFC fan?
Neil, go ahead.
Floyd Mayweather would absolutely kill him.
Yeah.
Absolutely murder him.
Right.
The hand speed, the technical aspect of boxing alone, with 4-ounce gloves, Conor McGregor would get KO'd, stotched.
Yeah, if McGregor makes a run at him, Mayweather will be able to get out of the way, and he'll hit him with a 4-ounce glove, and he's going to knock him out. I mean, it's another thing that's just ridiculous.
I mean, the last one was like had boxing rules. I mean, so there was nothing really ridiculous about that. You knew what you were getting.
Yeah, except Mayweather let him hang around. And Mayweather
still got a couple good shots on Mayweather on the chin.
I think Floyd realized very quickly that McGregor could not knock him out.
Yes.
And he absorbed a few punches. He's also 40 and had been a little rusty. Probably couldn't slip a few. And I saw that fight again recently. Mayweather carried him
to
let the fans think that they had spent their money on something.
Yeah, and then maybe
that, and Floyd, we've said it many times before, he is a brilliant businessman.
You are writing that off. I thought that was a much better fight.
No.
And I think you can't just sit there and let him take those hits to the chin that he took.
It wasn't a good fight. He knew that. After McGregor landed a few punches, which gave everyone hope that more would be coming, Mayweather decided to dodge him for most of the rest of the fight, carry it, I forgot how many rounds it was, carry him for most of the distance, and finish. And that was it. I mean, it was a great show that Mayweather crafted and put together to earn himself another quarter of a billion dollars.
And everyone's all excited because of one punch. It was an uppercut to his chin.
Yes. There are a couple good ones.
Part of the script? Again, he was ring rusty and older. And he couldn't slip one, but he slipped all the rest of them.
And he obviously let Mayweather get close. I mean, he let him get close enough. If Mayweather wanted to, again, Conor McGregor would not land a punch.
So is this a boxing match, except you can grab the guy.
Yeah, that's seems it. Like it.
Yes.
So that's it.
Taking the legs completely out of it?
The legs
seems
completely
like
out of it. You can't take the guy down, so it's a boxing match, except the only thing is they will not break you up if you hold each other.
You can hold. And well, I suppose you could choke a guy.
You could get behind him and choke him.
Or you
could
stand in front of him and choke him.
That's McGregor chasing him around the ring, trying to get behind him.
Exactly, and that's why...
Which is not going...
No, Jeez. And then Mayweather is 1,000 times the athlete of McGregor.
Convince me, UFC fans, that there's anything else you can do other than that. Not convince me. Let me know. Am I missing some major aspect of UFC fighting, of MMA, that is going to be injected in this if there's, once again, no kicks, no takedowns, those elbows, and no knees?
Aaron, go ahead.
So I am a lot more familiar with UFC rules versus boxing, but I've never seen like a boxing match where anybody runs up and does like a Superman Chuck Liddell punch or a spinning back fist. So there is a handful of things I feel like you can do a little bit more in UFC. And also, you know, just because you're not physically going to get grappled and then taken down doesn't mean you're not going to fall on the ground. And in boxing, you can't do a ground and pound. Where if you know, Floyd Mayweather falls on the ground, McGregor can capitalize and start beating him up on the ground.
I don't think that that's going to be... I think that's kind of in the spirit of what they're saying.
Mayweather would never agree to
that. The no takedowns, I'm sure, is going to include, if I fall, you can't jump on me and pound me.
Exactly.
So,
you can't take him down. So, yeah, if he's down, you're going to have to give him up.
Even if he trips and falls. And by the way, Mayweather's not tripping and falling on the ground.
No. Mayweather will again.
If they pull this off, it's brilliant. Everyone makes money. But I just can't see how this would be entertaining at all.
No.
I mean,
no, because it's like professional wrestling. Yeah. Just like the boxing match.
Dana White makes money. The fighters make money. I'm sure some sanctioning body for boxing makes money. Everybody makes money because people are silly enough to fork over $100 a throw.
The Mayweather-McGregor fight was WWE.
No,
and it was orchestrated.
That is,
well,
that,
Rich,
it wasn't.
You're wrong.
I think it was. I think Fred's close to the truth here.
Ask
I saw
anybody,
the fight too.
Ask anybody.
I did. I've asked Joe Lauzon from the UFC, and he says it was not.
No, a guy who's been
staged,
but in reality, all it was, regardless of whether or not there was a script, it turned out to be more of a show than a fight.
Okay, did Floyd Mayweather lay back a little more than he should have? Of course.
Absolutely he did.
But don't tell me that those hits were real
on his chin. McGregor stood long enough so that the MMA fans would be excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
This is all crafted and controlled by a brilliant businessman who knows how to get every last dollar out of the paying public. Good for him.
And Lauzon he has to say that it was going to be like that because he has his business is UFC. I mean, so you have to compete that.
Well, there's a lot of people who are in the UFC who thought that this was a joke. We thought the whole thing was a joke.
Yeah, so, I mean.
So, I mean, there's not a company line.
Well, Lauzon, I don't care what he says, because anyone who follows boxing or anyone that has been involved in boxing knows for sure that that was a joke. I mean, it was a joke. He carried him. It was a dance.
And once again, we'll agree to disagree.
All right, well, you're the one guy on the planet.
And Joe Lauzon.
All right, the two of you. Tiptoe through the tulips together. All right. Mike behind the mic, Callahan.
All right, full phone lines.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't really want to hear about it anymore.
I do. I want to see is there anything else that would make this worth watching?
I don't. Mike behind the mic, Callahan. There's a new job opening, and we're putting him up, and we're going to have his resume for you. We'll have that for you in just a moment.